258 workers have been killed in Gaza since the beginning of the war there. That's according to the UN. And aid groups have said most of the dangers come from Israeli bombardment and airstrikes. MSF Doctors Without Borders is working on the ground in Gaza. Its medical team leader is Dr. Javed Abdelmonem. He's based in Khan Yunis. He spoke to me earlier about the dangers facing aid workers.
We've lost colleagues that have been attacked in convoys, which were all deconflicted. And what does that mean? That means that they were locations and movements that were fully informed and coordinated with the military authorities and designated safe. And we found them not to be the case.
Other aid groups have said that most of the dangers come from Israeli bombardments and airstrikes. Is that your experience?
My experience here is this. I'm looking outside my window at the office. We're in Khan Yunis in South Gaza Strip, looking just by the beach. I can hear drones. I can see explosions, puffs of smoke. I can feel them rattling my window. I can see gunships on the sea, which fire. I have seen Apache helicopters run multiple sorties in the same patch of sky over the last few days. So that's what I'm seeing.
So what's the impact of that on MSF workers who remain now working in Gaza?
The impact is on what we see. So the patients that we're getting. We have multiple sites of work across Gaza, both at primary care level and at secondary care level. My particular project is a trauma, orthopedic and burns project. For example, after the Nusayrat hostage rescue just 10 days ago, there was a mass casualty incident across the entire strip. We saw multiple wounded patients, burns patients, trauma patients, parents, both injured with their children. A few of them still remain on our ward today. So we are getting traumatic injuries into our units and across the strip. But what's more important is the other effects of not having the supply that we need come in for since the end of April. So we are having rupture of stock of most basic and essential items such as ibuprofen, such as wheelchairs. We don't have mattresses for our trauma unit where patients are having to sleep either on the floor or on the metal of a bed. We've had to borrow surgical gowns. Another NGO called me last night asking for sutures. And we have no scabies treatment. And why is that important? And what's that indicative of, Kian? Skin infections, eye infections, diarrheal infections are three of the top five diagnoses we're seeing in our primary healthcare centres across the strip. And with no treatment for that, what do we do? And the root cause of that, Kian, is water and sanitation related. When you don't have enough water, enough clean water, enough latrines and hand soap, you see these infections. And these things are not coming into the strip since the end of April. And it's making life very, very difficult for activities and for the population.
The Israeli military said on Monday it had paused operations during daylight hours in parts of southern Gaza. Are you hopeful that these tactical pauses could maybe allow more aid in?
I'm a hopeful person, but I'm also engaged in the reality around me, Kian.
Well, what's the reality then?
These haven't materialised. Well, the realities I've just described it. As MSF, we've not had any supply into the strip since end of April. What has this meant is what I've just described. I've had to borrow surgical gowns. We're doing a surgical project here. My theatres, just the day before yesterday, had its electricity cut and no air conditioning. It's stiflingly hot and humid. We had to cancel six cases in theatres because there isn't enough fuel to run a generator that's big enough to maintain full electrical power to the hospital in which we're working. That's the reality in front of me. So previous announcements of humanitarian aid or surges haven't materialized. I will remain hopeful for this one. Let's keep hope. But so far, that hasn't materialized.
If medical supplies are in short supply, as you describe, how long can you continue to deliver services?
It depends per drug item. For example, I have just less than a month left of dressings. We use dressings in a huge quantity. I've already had to switch to my alternatives. So I've run out of my first line dressings and I'm using alternatives. But when you use alternatives, which are themselves first line for something else, then your consumption goes up and endangers other types of treatments. Fentanyl, it's an essential drug for anesthesia. Is critically low. I have 10 days left. As I said, we've run out of ibuprofen and scabies treatment. These are basic things that you can't run services without. They're already gone.
Tell me about some of the people you've had to treat under those conditions over the past number of days.
It's difficult. I mean, it has been Eid here as well. Eid al-Adha for the Islamic faith is a major holiday, and there's been expressed to me by my staff and patients a feeling that there is no such Eid. There is no Eid today. We're just many people expressing that they would rather just die. What that means is when you're in front of a patient, you have to explain to them why you can't give them the first line treatment and why you use them on alternatives, and explain to them ways of making up the shortfall. I saw a little boy yesterday who actually knocked on our gate with his father as I was walking in, who had a skin infection, a very simple skin infection that is hygiene related that we can treat usually. That medication that was needed wasn't available in the pharmacy at that time. We have to ask them to come back the next day in case we have it in stock the next day. This is a contagious skin infection. It rapidly spreads over the body. If they had enough soap and clean water to wash, and the treatment, it would be very easy to treat. You should never see that type of infection in somebody.
Dr. Javed Abdelmonem in Han Yunus there. It's now 7:24.